On? Check. All right, everybody, we're going to get started a little bit after 9. We'd like to get started here. So before we get started, let's pray. We're in the Canons of Dort, Main Point 1, Article 16. And especially in this topic that we've been addressing the last couple of months in election and now last few weeks in reprobation, we are in great need of understanding and wisdom, and not mine or yours, but God's wisdom from His Word. And so I just want to pray to that end. So let's pray. Lord, I do pray that You would humble us this morning as we discuss and think about this teaching of reprobation. Lord, that we don't just flippantly think about this doctrine, but we see this as a reality and one that breaks our hearts, but also one that we know is right and just because You are God. So, Lord, I just pray that You'd help us this morning. Apart from You, we can't think of this rightly. So, Lord, please move in us this morning by Your Spirit. We pray in His name. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I want to start out with a couple of questions this morning. Who are the reprobate? Those who are not elect. Name one. Go ahead, name them. By name. I want the name. Give me a name of someone who's reprobate. Who? Okay. No. Someone living. Don't give me dead. Are you sure? Because we certainly act like we know. We do. We act like we know. We withhold good from people because we think they're reprobate. In the words of Odie Bauckham, go ahead, give me the quote.
Which one, man?
All right, sorry. Okay, give me one.
Yeah, do you want to say amen?
There you go.
Or amen, you want to say amen, you ought to say out.
Right. If you can't say amen, you ought to say out. Look, we've all done this. We've all looked at someone. Maybe we didn't use the word in our brain, but we thought, reprobate. That one, no. There's no way I'm going to share the gospel with them. There's no way that I can love them. There's no way that God can love them. More to the point.
Sorry, that actually happens to believers. I know it's happened to me where people say, I'm not going to. I know where you're at, Chuck, where your heart is. That's happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
We say it to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, and that's. Thanks. I know. That's all right. I'm kidding. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So, before we do go on into this, I just wrote this out. When talking about the reprobate or reprobation, we as the church want to be very careful, thoughtful, loving, bless you. While this is a doctrine that we hold to, reprobation, it's a doctrine we hold to, it is not a sword that we wield over the church or the world. This is a doctrine that we affirm as true for a number of people. Bless you again. We affirm that there are reprobate. We see it in Scripture. Matt actually listed one from Scripture. We know there are the reprobate because we believe in heaven and hell. We know that not all are going to heaven. We are not universalists. We know and affirm election. So if we know and affirm election, that there are those that have been chosen from before the foundation of the world based on what? Grace. God's good pleasure. sovereignty of God, God's good pleasure, we must realize that there are also those that are not chosen. However, do not separate, don't think of this God's sovereignty and election and then reprobation. Well, he just didn't choose them. True, but we're missing a very large part of this here, the reprobate. What is one of the attributes of God that we cannot miss when speaking about reprobation? Justice. They broke God's holy law and are deserving of an eternity apart from him, just like me, just like you. For us, we can say, but God. For them, they can't say that, but that doesn't make God unfair. He's just in all that he does. And I think that the fairness aspect or unfairness of God aspect comes in when people start talking about this and they divorce it from justice, from God's attribute of justice. Let me give you a couple examples, and then I'm going to move into the catechism, because it's not a real long one today. I mean, the article here. Do you think in the Old Testament there would be people that would have said David was a reprobate? I mean, goodness, he was an adulterer and a murderer. Right? In the New Testament, what about Saul of Tarsus? As he stood by approving of the execution of Stephen, holding the cloaks there. And then, on his way to Damascus, what was he there going on the way to Damascus to do? Well, any Christian that he came across, he was going to persecute or kill. Could people think that he was a reprobate? If we believe Scripture, we're all like serial killers. Right? If Scripture says, right, if we look at someone with anger, we're liable to the judgment that comes with murder. What's the judgment that comes with murder? You guys know the names Jeffrey Dahmer and David Berkowitz? Right, okay. So, son of Sam. Son of Sam. Yeah. They both in prison confessed Christ and repented. I mean, you talk about like Dahmer, who was one of the most horrific serial killers of all time. And then he's not alive anymore. He got murdered in prison. But I saw some interviews with him. And then David Berkowitz is still alive in prison. I actually know someone who talked to him in the prison. He calls himself now the Son of Hope, divorcing himself completely from that other life because God has completely changed him. Both of them claim the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and Redeemer, and they have repented. Would people call them reprobate? Without knowing that, the world does. I just want us to be really careful with this. This is not something we need to throw around. Okay? Please, please, please. You don't know if they're reprobate unless they have died professing Christ is not king, God is not God, reprobate. But until their dying breath, maybe, can God not perform a miracle? He did for us. And we don't know how many seconds we have left on the earth. But he's done that miracle in us. So, in speaking about the doctrine of reprobation, let's affirm the truth of what it is. But let's not start naming names of people, especially that are alive. Because I think we do an injustice to God in his mercy. Okay? Like, how great is his power in salvation? And it's his power. So, okay. That's just a little, I wanted to go there with reprobation. Now, let's look at Article 16. Because another question after this, who are the reprobate? As Anthony said, am I a reprobate? That's the question that I think plagues many people in the church at different times, and the ones that penned this Canons of Dort very lovingly and pastorally wrote an article, bless you, wrote an article dealing with this kind of, it must have been a prevalent question for them to use an article in this canon on it. So let's look at Article 16, Responses to the Teaching of Reprobation. Now, these are responses within the church. Okay? Within the church. Those who do not yet actively experience within themselves a living faith in Christ, or an assured confidence of heart, peace of conscience, a zeal for childlike obedience, and a glorying in God through Christ, but who nevertheless use the means by which God has promised to work these things in us, such people ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to count themselves among the reprobate. Rather, they ought to continue diligently in the use of the means to desire fervently a time of more abundant grace and to wait for it in reverence and humility. Group number one. Now here's group number two. On the other hand, those who seriously desire to turn to God, to be pleasing to God alone, and to be delivered from the body of death, but are not yet able to make such progress along the way of godliness and faith as they would like, such people ought much less to stand in fear of the teaching concerning reprobation, since our merciful God has promised not to snuff out a smoldering wick or break a bruised reed. That's group number two in the church. Group number three. However, those who have forgotten God and their Savior Jesus Christ and have abandoned themselves wholly to the cares of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, such people have every reason to stand in fear of this teaching as long as they do not seriously turn to God. Curious article in the midst of all of this. I find this one to be very curious that it's written here. So I did something... And I'm going to give a little bit of a nod to John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. In Pilgrim's Progress, all the characters are named for what they actually kind of are or do, right? I mean, there are multiple names in Pilgrim's Progress. We've got Christian, we've got the Evangelist, we've got Obstinate, Pliable, Help, right? All these characters. So I named these three characters, these three groups of people, a name that I hope will help you, and I've written a scenario for each one to maybe cut through some of the language, because it is difficult to understand. What do they really mean, these writers of this, of these three groups? Like, what do these three groups really mean? So, scenario number one, and by the way, this group, the first group, there is not consistent belief as to whether this group is a believer or not. Some people in their commentaries of the Canons of Dort say this is a believer. Some people say it isn't. I don't think it really matters at this point. Okay? I call this group naive. Okay? So here's naive. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I go to church, I listen to the Bible read, hear the sermon, which sometimes convicts me of my sin, but I'm still not sure if God loves one like me. I still sin a lot. I just don't quite get all this church stuff. Naive. Young. Maybe young in age. Maybe young in the faith. Could be 80 and be this. It's not age specific. But we're just immature. Naive. Now, when you look up the definition of naive, I found this to be very interesting. That's why I ended up using this one and not immature. I use naive because One of the definitions is does not understand about the dangers around them. So I don't think this person in this group really understands the danger of reprobation. Really don't understand the dangers of sin. Right? So what's the answer that basically this group, here's the group, and then at the end of it, it's really that group asking, am I a reprobate? That's really the question, right, that this article wants to answer. Is this group, should they think that they're a reprobate? Answer given is to that group, hey, naive, don't be alarmed. when reprobation is mentioned. Don't be alarmed. Come to Christ. Continue to trust in His means. Desire fervently a time of more abundant grace and wait for it in reverence and humility. Now, what are the means that we're talking about? The article be recommending as means? If it's not a believer, we're not talking about the sacrament of communion, right? What is the means that we're talking about they need to continue to avail themselves to? Yeah, the preaching of the word, prayer, the word, the preaching of the word. Why? Because where's faith come from? Hearing. Hearing. And it's hearing the word. So for this person, don't stand in fear of reprobation. Continue to hear the word preached. Continue to pray. Desire to hear the word. If you don't understand it, pray for understanding. Continue to avail yourselves of the means that God has provided for you. Don't fear reprobation. Does that make sense? Okay, that's group one. By the way, in all three of these groups, I think that at one point or another, we all kind of float in and out of these three groups. Okay? Group number two, I think this is where most of us are a lot of times. I call this group frustrated. So we have naive as group one, frustrated as group two. I want so much to be one that's pleasing to God alone. My lack of obedience, though, is so frustrating to me. It is so frustrating to me. I long to be more godly. I want to be delivered from this body of death. I repent of my sin. I just don't see the growth in holiness and Christ-likeness that I desire or think should be there in my life. Man, am I a reprobate? You understand how this works? See what this is? Right? It's really gospel unbelief in this. But let's see what the answer given to this is. Frustrated? Don't be in fear of the teaching of reprobation, because our God is merciful. And He has promised not to snuff out a smoldering wick or break a bruised reed. Come to Christ. Trust in His means. Right? It's the same answer for everyone, by the way. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. See what the Lord has done for you. Come to Christ. Trust. Trust in His means. Come to Christ. All right. So first one, first group, naive. Second group, frustrated. Third group, and I think I was kind of generous or kind when I said this, when I named this one, but apathetic. Apathetic. And the definition of apathetic, showing or feeling no interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Okay, so here's the scenario. And maybe this one again, if you can't say amen, you better say ouch. I don't know. We'll see. I don't care about God anymore and that whole Jesus Christ stuff. Please. I'm only coming to church to appease my family. I only care about my family and their comfort. Paying my bills, getting in shape, losing weight, getting through the next 15 years until retirement, getting more stuff to make me happy. I really care about that show that I'm binge-watching on Netflix. Can't wait to see how that turns out. I care about my pets, their happiness. I really do care what I'm going to have for lunch after this is all done. Goodness, please, I hope this is done soon. By the way, this person doesn't ask, am I reprobate? Because they don't care. They don't care if they're reprobate. Here's the answer given to this person. Stand in fear of this teaching of reprobation, because it pertains to you unless you repent of your sin and turn to Christ, trusting in His work for you. That's all you need. Naive, frustrated, apathetic. Does it really matter if naive is a believer or not? Does a response change? Exactly. Not in terms of the counsel I give them. Come to Christ. Repent. Come to Christ. Believe. Number two, frustrated. What's the counsel we give them? Come to Christ. Repent. Believe. Number three, apathetic. Does it matter if they're a believer or not? No. Repent. Believe. Come to Christ. Believe. Look at Christ. Look at His work for you. So when you ask the question, am I reprobate? Am I a reprobate? That's what this is. This teaching of reprobation here, the response. As we sit here and as the law falls on us heavily, am I a reprobate? Am I a reprobate? I can't keep that. I can't keep that. What do we say? Come to Christ. He has. He has. Belief in that? No. You're not a reprobate. You're not a reprobate. Reprobates are one that don't believe and die in their unbelief. Now, ones that don't believe. I'm sorry, Chuck, I didn't see your hand.
But,
okay. Ones that don't believe and are showing the characteristics of a reprobate, are they a reprobate? Maybe. We don't know. What's that? To be determined. But God can certainly change them from a reprobate characteristics to a believer, because He's done it for us. And that's a miracle. Chuck, what was your question?
That was my follow-on. Is it safe to consider the first two groups as elect, but the third one, because the third one sounds like they've actually known and heard the Word of God and the truth and have turned their back on it?
Yeah, well, and there's a big parallel in this one to the parable of the soils, right? The seed that goes onto the ground, that grows up and shows on the rocky soil, that shows some growth, but then choked out and cares the world. It is. It absolutely is fuzzy. But I think that in their pastoral manner, the writers of this are saying to the church, there are these people in your church. Because we know from our own experience, but from history and from our confession, that there are unbelievers mixed in with believers in the church, right? In the church. Now, does that mean they're part of the church? No, but they come to the church as unbelievers. Some come as wolves. Others just come, maybe based off of scenario three, just to appease a family member. But we know that they're mixed in. So, whether or not they're believers, whether they were showing fruit at one point, it's always the same response. Those that are showing no interest in Christ, repent. Believe. Repent. Repent of your sin. Come to Christ. He's merciful. He will accept you. Come to Christ. Believe in Christ's work. So my last question, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? If you do, how do you have peace with God? You want to say it again, man?
Therefore, since we now been justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God.
Faith in Christ, peace with God. How do you get faith? By the way, it's a gift. It's a gift by grace. So you can't work to build up your faith. You can't work and then somehow, okay, I'm going to go attain faith. No, we can't do that. You have peace with God because of God and His love and mercy and justice. It's all work of Him. You have peace with God because of the work of Jesus Christ, that you are now justified. You have a righteousness that is now yours because one became sin for you, so that you can become the righteousness of Christ. That's a work that you couldn't do. That's how we have peace with God. That's why we can say, I am not reprobate. I will answer this. I am not reprobate because I believe in the work of Christ for me, and that work is enough. Okay, that's how we answer that question. Questions? All right, let's pray. Lord, you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There is none like you, Lord. And so we pray to you. We praise you in our prayer because salvation belongs to you, and we thank you that salvation belongs to you because you are good and perfect in all that you do. I pray, Lord, that this morning that you would grow that faith in us that you have implanted. That you would remind us of your mercy and your grace to us. You would remind us of your justice. The justice and the wrath that you poured out against our sin, but you poured it out on your Son. And that we would run and cling to Christ and His work this morning and every day, either until we die or you return. And Lord, we do plead with you, return quickly. Return. Lord, those that are showing characteristics of ones that would be reprobate, Lord, save them. Shine the light of the gospel into their hearts, Lord. If there are those in our lives that we see as ones that have characteristics of ones that are reprobate, Lord, would you give us boldness to share words of life, to share the gospel with them, to not shy away from the truth of the gospel, to not be ashamed of the hope that we have. Lord, we're such needy people. We're so weak. But you are perfectly strong. And so I pray that you would work in us for our good and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.